Welcome to the IM Radio Network, where noted authority coaches, authors, and speakers collaborate and bring to you the best in radio, TV, and live events worldwide. And now, the IM Radio Network proudly presents the Dr. Simone Show with your host, Dr. Simone Revies. Get ready to go. Interactive.
Well, good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, or good evening, whatever the case may be, where you're located. This is the Dr. Simone Show, the Mind-Body Edge, where we speak of things involving human behavior, health, life experiences, consciousness, the brain, and the like. These issues are vital for us to uncover and discuss because they can educate us, heal us, help us grow, and improve the condition of humanity and the planet as a whole, or so we intend. In my other life, not being a radio show host, that is, I'm a former psychologist, and I'm currently a certified business and life coach and a brain coach. I am absolutely fascinated by neuroscience, which explains some of the guests that we've had on the show to date. I've been studying it for years. I've written a book on it, and I have a neurocoaching certification system to teach coaches and others about neuroscience so that they can use the neuroscientific techniques with their clients to better help their clients. And today, I'm very excited. We have an amazing, amazing guest today. This woman has been of immense help to me in business. And her bio, as you'll hear in a minute, is outstanding. Let me tell you about Rebecca Hall Greider. She is the owner of Your Purpose-Driven Practice. She's the creator of the Women's Empowerment Series events and TV show, the Speaker Talent Search, and Rebecca's Money Summit. Rebecca, she's the network director for Voice America's Women's Channel in both radio and TV. She is also an in-demand speaker, an expert money coach, and a frequent guest expert on success panels, telesummits, TV, and radio shows. And as the CEO of RHG Media Productions, Rebecca launched the international TV channel called Empowered Connections TV, which was recently rated the number one channel on Voice America. And that is a huge thing. And that has been bringing transformational TV shows and programming to the world. She'll be launching her new TV network, Empowered Connections Network, in January of 2017. She's written a number of books, and to be released in 2016 are several others, Coming Out of Hiding and Shine, Success Secrets for Today's Feminine Entrepreneur, Warrior Women, Women on a Mission, and the long-awaited Stories of My Grandmothers, Legacy from a Granddaughter's Heart. She is a popular talk radio show host, an empowerment leader, and international best-selling author who's here today to tell us about how we can all impact the world powerfully. So today's show, Coming Out of Hiding to Shine for Success and Joy, and I'd like to welcome Rebecca Hall Greider.
Thank you, Dr. Simone. It's an honor to be here, and I love talking about coming out of hiding and shine and how we can all make a difference. So thank you very much for having me today. It's my pleasure.
It is my pleasure. I'm really excited to have you here. You know, I mentioned to Rebecca earlier that the tables have turned, because she's had me on her radio show a couple of times, and now she's on my radio show. So I'm really excited to learn more, and I know that we all will be learning a lot from Rebecca. So, Rebecca, why is this work of empowering others so important personally to you?
The reason empowering others has become such a passionate area of my life is because if I go back in time to those formative years, I was in a very disempowered place. I grew up in a very abusive environment and experienced things as a young girl that should never be experienced. And you name it, I experienced it. And what I learned to survive in that environment is that I didn't matter. Mm-hmm. I'm not okay. There must be something wrong with me. It's my fault. And it's absolutely not safe to be seen and hurt. And I was eventually rescued, and which I'm very grateful for, and I got to move into an environment where I could heal and bloom and grow. But that's a journey. It doesn't happen overnight. And in this new environment, I discovered new truth, that those things that I thought were the way life was were not things I needed to carry forward. And I discovered the truth that I'm actually beautifully and wonderfully made, just like each and every one of your listeners, that we're needed just as we are, that it wasn't my fault, and that I could choose what I decided to bring forward in life and what I decided to echo forward. But the biggest part of the journey in healing for me was this really knowing on a cellular level, not just intellectually, that it is safe to be seen and heard. And that is where so much of my work is, and what I'm so called to bring to the world, is that your voice matters, your message matters, your beautifully and wonderfully made and needed. Nobody else can bring each of your voices and your lives forward, and you're absolutely needed. And so I want to help people know the truth about who they are, and that it is safe to be seen and heard, and even the step beyond that, to shine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so wonderful to hear you say that everybody is perfect as they are, mm-hmm. And address that to our audience, because I know that there are a lot of people out there who have similar thoughts to the ones that you had. For whatever reasons, they've absorbed those negative thoughts about I'm not worthy, it's not safe, I'm not lovable, you know, it's my fault, all of those negative self-defeating thoughts. And they're completely irrational, but we as children tend to absorb those and believe that about ourselves. And congratulations on your making such a miraculous journey.
Well, thank you. It's not a solo journey. I had a lot of support and people walking beside me and investing themselves in me. And I'm very grateful for that. And this beautifully and wonderfully made, those things that we sometimes think are quirks or things that are weird about us, or sometimes the uniqueness that we bring to the world and the way people remember us and can connect with us. And it's actually a gift to share those quote-unquote quirks with the world.
I love that. That's true. And so often we struggle to hide those things because, as you said, that we think they're weird. why is it so important that we be willing to fully show up in our lives?
Just being very direct and in love, you know, in sharing this. This isn't a dress rehearsal. This is our life. And we don't get a take two. This isn't a practice run. And I believe each of us is in the garden of life like a flower. We have our own fragrance. We have our own color, our own texture, and brilliance in the sense that we're bringing to the world around us. And we can either decide to bloom and show all of who we are, and that creates a vibrancy around us and impacts other people's lives, or we can occupy the space and do it in a way we're kind of shrinking back. When we do that, the world misses out. It's less vibrant. There's less texture. So I really want people to encourage to fully share who they are with the world around them. And it's life by life, heart by heart. Some of the reason I've been able to go on this healing journey that I'm able to share in the various platforms that I get to share are because I had people that invested their heart in me and encouraged me on my journey. We have the power to impact others life by life, heart by heart.
Right. And I know that you, in fact, do that through your coaching and through your radio show and through your writings, that you have a huge impact. And I loved your analogy to the flowers in the gardens. And so, audience, can you see why Rebecca is such a great radio show host? She's able to really convey what it is that she's trying to say in a beautiful manner.
Thank you.
I wanted to give out the phone number because I'm sure people are really enjoying so far what they're hearing. I wanted to give out the phone number so if there are any questions, people can feel free to call in. And that is 657-383-1534. 657-383-1534. Now, you just mentioned that the importance of being willing to fully show up in our lives and stand out and be true to ourselves. Is there an urgency to doing this?
Yes. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. We have today. We have this moment. We have this time together now. And I plan on tomorrow. I hope for tomorrow. I have all kinds of things that I'm looking forward to doing, but it's not guaranteed. What I know is we have right now. And what I want people to be encouraged is that when you feel that prompting, when you feel that pull to encourage someone or to hug them or whatever it may be that you're feeling this pull that sometimes maybe feels a little illogical, it's easy to say, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that when I'm ready. We will not have this moment again. We're not going to connect exactly in this way again. So I encourage you, when you have those promptings, whatever it may be to do, that you're willing to say yes and act now, not wait until someday or when you're ready, because we spend so much time getting ready to get ready, whereas right now, you can make a huge difference.
That's wonderful. You know, in doing the things that you're talking about and in living our lives and engaging in change and so on, there's so frequently this one big block. And that block is fear. So what do you say about how we should contend with this fear?
This is one of my favorite questions, Dr. Simone. You probably didn't know that. because I am intimately acquainted with fear. For me, when I was on that healing journey, it took everything I had in school or in classes to stand up and say my name, much less anything else beyond that. That was a courageous act for me. I would shake. I would turn purple, almost red. I would lose my words. My ears would ring. And I would spend the rest of the time kind of recovering from just saying my name or saying yes. So that became a journey for me to, in a sense, move through the fear and get courageous and figure out how to actually be in a place now where I love all the different things that I get to do on the world, all the different platforms I get to speak on and share. But they're all things I was terrified of. When I felt this call and this pull to start sharing my story, I was very resistant. I was in the public eye, I was traveling, I was speaking in the financial realm and doing a lot there. And I just thought, well, I don't want to start sharing my story. That's not financially. Those aren't things we talk about. And I had conquered my fear to some extent by hiding in the public eye. I was put my uniform on. I was good at putting up a good front, smiling really big, and hiding behind content and information. So there was a stripping away of some of the armor that I had built as I stepped into what I was more fully called to do. So I'm sharing that because I didn't just wake up thinking, oh, I want to be on radio and television and all those different things. So yeah. I had to, and I continue to dance with fear. Mm-hmm. So what I want to share with all of you is fear is an emotion. It's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean reverse and stay away from it. I encourage you, actually, when you feel that emotion, breathe and lean in. Actually explore what you're afraid of. And frequently, it's just your mind and body trying to protect you from something you haven't seen before. It doesn't mean there's danger necessarily. It just means I'm trying to protect you. I don't know if you can survive that because you haven't done it before. So I encourage you to actually be okay feeling fear. And every time I got on stage, I would actually, this empowered me to work through the fear. So a tip if you're a speaker out there, I would eye the exit strategy, like how to get off the stage if I needed to. And I never did. I mean, to this day, I haven't walked off a stage. But right. when I realized I could and I chose to be there, I suddenly became empowered instead of being caught up in the fear. And then every time I did that and I survived and I actually enjoyed it and made a difference and got to connect with somebody, it made me braver and less fearful. And every step I've taken on my journey, I've gotten to call it dancing because it's moving with and through fear. So I just want to encourage you not to be afraid of fear. It's an emotion. And it's a signal you're actually going somewhere you haven't gone before and maybe even celebrate it.
Right. I'm curious, do you use any techniques to deal with your fear besides actually going up and getting on stage and living through it? You mentioned breathing. Mm-hmm. Or do you ever do anything such as visualization or anything of that nature?
I actually don't do visualization, but I do breathing, absolutely. And I will take a deep breath, kind of ground myself. Sometimes I'll put my hand on the heart and head, just breathing into that with eyes closed, doing those deep belly breaths, which can help bring down cortisol, which is great, and relax. And I will practice. So visualization is kind of like practicing, but I'll actually, on a cellular level, move around and practice whatever it is so I get used to being in that space. If I'm giving a presentation, I would do it in front of a mirror where I was getting used to making eye contact, hearing my voice out loud. So it became part of me versus something that was foreign, or my dress rehearsal was actually on a stage. And then I would spend time being extra kind and setting myself up for success, honoring that I felt that emotion, and how can I help myself feel strong in this situation? What am I excited about? And spending time kind of like a good friend would to ourselves. And right. I spent time cheerleading myself on and on stage, and I'm just using that as an example. I would find those friendly eyes to make the eye contact with.
Okay.
So building support in as I'm doing it.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's great. So shifting your eyes from finding the exit to finding the friendly eyes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Rebecca, I think we have a call waiting. Let's hear if that comes through.
Hi, Dr. Simone, and hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
This is Emily Miller. I'm the Pearls of Wisdom coach, and I've been loving listening to your tips about how to be encouraged and find the strength to be seen and to get your message heard out there.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question because one of the things I'm curious about is, how has your business grown by shining more, by, you know, being a host of a radio show? And I understand you've got TV shows coming up. So what real results have you seen by being more visible and sharing your message?
That's a great question.
Thank you, Emily, for that question. I would love to answer that. When I stepped into doing radio, and I didn't have that on my radar. I wasn't out there seeking it. I had just had a book come out, and I was frankly a little bit overwhelmed. It had become international bestseller. We were at a conference signing books, and I found some of my time hiding in the hotel room. I would re-enter, go back down, you know, because it was just this new space, and it was the first time I had really shared my story, and so I felt very vulnerable. And I got this call to be on radio, and I felt like it was a sales pitch. I wasn't quite sure. And yeah. As I stepped into that space, actually transformed me and my business.
I hear Rebecca cutting out a little bit.
I was able to grow every single show and was established as an expert in the empowerment arena. So it helped change how I was seen. And at the same time as it did that, it also helped me grow personally and professionally. So those are some of the growth. But the shining part, what's really key about it, and a truth I discovered, is we can have this huge heart to serve and make a difference and still be the best kept secret.
Yeah.
And the way through that is being willing to be seen on the same level that we are willing to serve. We want people to be able to find us easily and know what we stand for. And that starts to bring the people to you.
Wow. Thank you so much, Rebecca. I really appreciate your answer and what I heard you say, that it is worth being vulnerable and allowing ourselves to share our truth and our story so that we can be seen and we can be heard. And by doing that, we can make such a difference. So thank you
exactly.
So much for sharing with us how you have grown and how your business has grown by shining more and being visible to the world. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome, Emily. Thank you for calling in and asking.
Thank you, Emily.
You're
thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
I love how Emily summarized what you had said to her and her mention of being willing to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's a major truth, is that we really do have to be willing to be vulnerable and show ourselves, and despite our weird quirks, right? We have to be willing to stand out and put all of our thoughts about what other people are thinking about us. You know, what we imagine they're thinking or saying about us, we've got to sort of put those to rest and not focus on those thoughts.
Can I share one thing I learned this lesson around? When I was making this transition several years ago to move into the speaking arena, I decided, making this transition, I need to get support and help. First, I had invested in Stephen. And I went on there with the list. felt like my laugh wasn't very professional. It wasn't mature. It wasn't carrying the caliber of empowerment and what I felt I should be bringing forward. And I remember he looked at me after listening to my passionate explanation of why this laugh needed to go away and it's haunted me my whole life and, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
He said, Rebecca, I think you have a misunderstanding about assets and liabilities. He goes, your laugh is distinctive. It actually helps people lean in. It's contagious. Remember you by it. It expresses joy, and it's something that actually is kind of a trademark or a signature that you have that people remember. He goes, that's an asset. Those are the types of things you want to have as a speaker. The things you want to work on or remove, the liabilities, so to speak, are those things that interfere with your message and connection, not the things that people lean into. And it totally changed my perspective. And he said, if anything, laugh more. Bring that to the world. So, and he said, I've worked with so many speakers and professionals. And Rebecca, they come to me with a similar thinking and remove some of these things from our life. When we do that, we lose our texture and we just get into the sea of voice. But when actually from the things that people remember, they're technically that we think with the things that can be heard.
Right, right. Rebecca, can I ask you to check your headset and your mic? You're coming in kind of choppy.
Oh, let me see. I'm checking all the connections here. And if you do want me to switch and call in, I can.
Now we can hear you well.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. Okay. So thank you for sharing about that. Yes, your laugh is very noticeable. I've always loved it. And I think I've commented about it to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being on the other end of you as an interviewer, when you're laughing, it definitely made me feel much more relaxed and able to share. And it really brought it down to a much more personal interaction, more personal style of interaction. So I think you got some very good advice about keeping up the laughter, for sure. I love that.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm very grateful. So those quirks that we have are those things we feel like we need to get rid of because we want to blend in some way. Yeah. I encourage us to discover them and actually share them and bring them forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, definitely. So we have about 2 minutes until our break time. And I am going to ask you if you could call in.
Sure.
Okay, we'd really appreciate that.
Perfect. And would you like me to do that right now?
Yeah, yes, please.
Okay. Just a moment.
Mm-hmm. Hello, amazing listeners to the I Am Radio TV Network. We thank you so very much for being here with us today. We wanted to let you know we have an amazing opportunity coming up. We have available broadcast time. If you are a coach, author, speaker, or a business person looking to get your message out to the entire planet, then please get in touch with us as soon as possible, and we will go over the various levels of participation in our network. Again, we thank you for being with us here today on the I Am Radio TV Network. Now, get ready to go interactive.
All right, welcome back.
Thank you. I hope this is a little bit better.
Great. And while you were gone, we played our little our break music, so we're done with that. So we can just go on now.
Perfect.
And what I wanted to ask you is, people are so overwhelmed these days. People are so incredibly busy. And do you have any suggestions about how we could be more decisive about, let's say, what we say yes and what we say no to?
Yes, absolutely. And this is really important, that we develop clarity on what to say yes or no to, because there are so many opportunities out there that are wonderful, so many ways that we can move forward in life, but we can go to extremes. We can either start saying no to everything and not do anything, or we can start saying yes to everything and get overwhelmed. So I encourage us to actually center in, take a pause, breathe, and really remember what's most important to us. And build that as a practice every day, that you spend a few moments really seeing what is it that I'm wanting to move forward in personally, in business, and professionally. That gives you some direction and clarity. So when you have opportunities come forward,
mm-hmm.
you actually can weigh it back against what it is that you're wanting to move forward in. Does this help me move further towards that, or is it actually taking me away from that?
Right.
And then the second thing that we can do is really tap into the wisdom within our bodies on a cellular level, really tapping into that. We can overthink things, or I can develop multiple plans, multiple ways to get there, justify it lots of different ways, and pretty soon get confused about if I should or shouldn't or want to even move forward in this, because I've got the plans in the way before I even pause to check and see, is this a yes or a no? So a really powerful technique, and I'm actually going to do it with you guys here, is you can stand.
Okay.
Have your feet almost hip distance apart. Relax the knees. And it's helpful to close your eyes, because we can distract ourselves sometimes with visual things. And in this quiet space, you ask yourself a yes or no question. Now, for example, should I listen to the rest of this powerful show of Dr. Simone? And hopefully all of you actually felt your body shift forward onto the balls of your feet, and your body will lean forward. If you get a no, you'll actually feel the weight of your body shift back onto your heels, and it's almost like this crushing energy. That's a no. So a yes will be uplifting. You'll feel yourself kind of moving forward. A no will be pulling back, and this weight almost that's on you. And I do this in the grocery store with supplements or whatever it is I'm exploring, trying. I try to do it subtly, you know, like they don't notice. I don't know what she's doing, but she's picking this up. Is her body leaning back? And then I'll subtly, you know, put it back on the shelf.
Yeah.
But I found this technique, and those of you can sit down, they're still standing. But I found it really powerful because it got me out of my head and tapping into all of me, mind, body, soul, and spirit, to get clarity on yes or no. And then if it was a yes, I could bring my mind into the how part. And that simplified my life powerfully, and I have found it to be a very true way to know yes or no about things.
Wow, that's fantastic. You know, that was quite an experience. While I was standing up, I went through about 6 different decisions that I wanted to know about. And I found myself leaning forward for all of them. So,
Beautiful.
Yeah. That reminds me of muscle testing.
Exactly.
Know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because our bodies are very wise and often know more than our brains what is good for us holistically, as you said, mind, body, soul, spirit. So to be able to have some quiet in our brains and just let our bodies feed us the wisdom, that's a fantastic exercise. I love that. Thank you.
Absolutely. It made a big difference in my life. So I hope it serves all of you out there.
Yes. Yeah. Wasn't that great, everybody? I hear them saying, yes, yes, yes.
They'll lean forward.
Yeah, lean forward. Now, speaking about leaning forward and backward, let's talk about being balanced.
Mm-hmm.
How can we stay balanced?
Again, that clarity on what's a yes or no will help. But there's, I think, a myth out there that we suddenly arrive at this plane of balance and we're there forevermore.
Mm-hmm.
And I've discovered, for me at least, that's not how it works. I'll have those moments where things are balanced, but then things around me can change, or I change and evolve and grow, and suddenly I have lots on the plate again, or I'm stretching in a new way, or I need more time or energy around this area than I needed before. So I think it's a very dynamic living experience, balancing our life. And so that practice of pausing every day and really looking at what's most important to you, what is it that I want to bring forward or move forward in or learn or discover, and keeping it top of mind, that will help us in recognizing those opportunities and leaning into them, and then be able to ask the question. And I was just thinking with what you shared that you got yeses on about six things.
Yeah.
Then it can be prioritizing. Maybe they're all supposed to happen at once, but maybe going through, is that, are these to happen all at once? And so you figure yes or no. Is this one the first one to focus on? You can kind of prioritize through
right.
the same process. But there's this other thing around balance called what I call the full plate syndrome. And if any of you have ever been to a buffet or a picnic where everyone has brought different things to try, for me, I like to try everything. And I don't necessarily look at all the table and all the things before I start putting things on my plate. And I always try to do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. That looks extra good. And pretty soon my plate's getting full and I'm not all the way through the table. And an olive or two might be rolling off my plate or the cabinet, which I don't want to have happen. And this happens in life where our plate gets full because we all have the 24 hours. That's our plate. And we try to fit more than 24 hours of stuff on the plate, or forget that we need sleep or forget
right,
that
right.
we need to pause and take a break and breathe into it. So this plate ends up being really full. And what will happen is at some point, if we keep saying yes, we keep adding things on, and we don't take anything off, something
mm-hmm.
will fall off.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want it to be the chocolate cake.
Right.
So
no.
When that happens, because it will, I encourage all of you and myself, this is encouragement to myself as well, to not be judgmental and critical and beat yourself up like, oh my goodness, they're never going to believe me again, or this is not who I am, and we spend all this energy because something fell off our plate. What I want us to be encouraged to remember to do is realize it's an indicator that the plate's full again. That means it's time to go and evaluate again what's on the plate and develop and then make some choices there so that you don't have the critical things falling off the plate. They're only so big, we can't endlessly add things. And what I really encourage in that is we're developing this practice of evaluating, pausing, breathing, evaluating what's on the plate. When you have those opportunities that you're saying yes to and you're getting ready to put it on the plate, make sure there's room. And if there's not, look at what you can take off. That will make a profound difference in balancing life. And then an extra credit bonus opportunity for people is actually have some empty space left on the plane for the opportunities that will come. So you don't have to necessarily remove something when you add something on.
Right. That's wonderful. I love that visual and that analogy. That's wonderful. I was thinking about when you were saying in making our decisions, they should be consistent with what we really want. And one of the ways that I use with clients is to have them identify their values and make their decisions, make sure that their decisions are in alignment with their values.
Yes.
And yeah, that makes it, easier for them to make decisions. And if not, if they don't do that, they may acquire what they believe that they wanted, but they may be miserable because they could run counter to their internal values, their deeply held values.
Yes.
So, yeah. You're obviously wonderfully all about support and empowering others. What are some ways that you suggest that we can support others in our lives?
I would encourage everyone to start today and really observe yourself just throughout the day and see where you're leaning in to connect and lift up others and perhaps where you're not. And this isn't with judgment, this isn't with criticism or anything like that, but it's important to kind of know where we are, where we lean in, where we pulled back a little bit. Is it, in the grocery line, are we frustrated it's taking a long time and kind of echoing that out, or are we leaning in and smiling and connecting with others? I mean, wherever we are in life, are we taking an opportunity to acknowledge someone, to share what you see in them that's a gift and amazing? And the other activity I'd really encourage is discover what your strengths and gifts are. Sometimes there's so much like breathing, we don't recognize what they are. And if you can really discover how you're uniquely made, what your gifts are, then you can look for opportunities to share those more with others. That's kind of your unique print that you can bring to the world that nobody else can, your combination of gifts and talents and abilities. So a way that we can do that is market research. You can reach out to people and say, and you don't have to say, tell me how good I am.
Yeah.
You can feel awkward. But you can say, I'm really exploring the different things that I'm doing in my life. And I listened to a show recently, and the guest challenged me to discover what some of my strengths are. And I'm concerned or I'm aware I may not see some of them. So do you mind sharing three things that you think are powerful about me or unique or strengths that I have, because I don't want to miss what they are so that I can lean into them. And people will be happy to share.
Right. That's very good. That's good advice for sure. Because those around us, they know a lot about us and they have a more objective perspective than we do about ourselves. So they could point out things that we're really unaware of.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. There's also, in speaking about strengths, I would urge you to do what Rebecca had suggested. There's also on the internet, you could just type in VIA, V as in Victor, IA, Survey of Strengths. And that's an assessment that highlights your particular strengths. And then you choose the top five strengths, and those are called your signature strengths. And the idea is to work on developing those further. and that makes you feel much more positive in your lives. So we know that honoring the strengths and working on developing the strengths, as Rebecca brought up, is really very helpful in our lives. I know that you have from your bio. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me take. We have another question, Rebecca.
Yay!
Let's take that question.
Hi, Rebecca. Jeff Miller again. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Jeff?
Great, thank you. As a coach and a strategic interventionist, I call myself the hypnotic interventionist. I work with many, many clients, talking to them about the why and what did it take for them to emerge and shine and break the shell and come out. Now, I know you had a previous question about this, but pertaining to your book, and you've done a book with a group of people where they've all told their story, I would love it if you could share with people what one or two things really pushed you and prompted you to break through.
Thank you, Jeff. That's a good question, and it was a journey. But if I go back to the core and really think back in time about what helped me break through, it's what I call conversations with God. When I was on the journey, and this was right around between ages 13 to 16, there were a lot of steps that I had to take to establish boundaries, to heal, to confront, to tell the truth. There were a lot of things that were really hard for me to do in that journey of healing. And I would wrestle with God, and I could feel like He was asking me to share the truth or confront this or break through this, whatever it was, to move forward, and I would wrestle. And I didn't care enough about myself to do it for me. Mm-hmm. But what would run through my mind is God was asking me to do what I felt like was a mean, hard, horrible thing that I shouldn't have to do because I've suffered enough already.
Right.
Yep. I said, but I will do this thing if it can make a difference for another little girl. I cared more for them and their past than I did for myself at that point. And it's the thing that got me through and encouraged me. And to this day, when I come up against myself and I come up against my fear, that plays through my mind again about making a difference. I want another's path to be better, to be encouraged. And I'm willing to be a little uncomfortable, experience new things, stretch myself in order to do that. So that's the main thing I think that really helped me take those steps. And eventually I got to where I loved myself too. But that's not where it started for me. It was really making a difference for another. And
excellent.
So that would be the top thing that helped me break through.
Those are vulnerable years, 13 to 16, and through hypnotherapy and regression technique, I bring people back, and we go to that and visit it, and they get to see it cloaked in God's protection and the white and blue-white light, and they see themselves in that situation, and they're now aware on an unconscious level, ooh, this is where this happened to me in my life, and they're better able to deal with it now as an adult. And what age do you feel you would you? I'm sure you remember. What age were you when you broke through this? I mean, it sounded like you were in the circuit speaking, et cetera. But
it was a journey because I actually was officially rescued around age 12 and a half. But I had to keep going back to that environment until 18. So there were new wounds and things. So I wasn't totally removed from it the whole time on the journey. I got to, in a sense, go back and forth and shrink and expand again and heal. And there were different phases. There was as a younger girl and then as a young woman and then as an adult, you know, there were different phases I needed to get supporting on a journey. It's definitely not a solo journey, and having experts very, in a very real and powerful way walk beside me, I think it made the difference and helped me put things in a healthier, more real perspective and choose what I'm going to echo forward and bring forward instead of having it be more repeating patterns and just kind of default.
Right. We call it repeat and repeat. It seems like we do that because we're afraid, and that's where you come in with that word fear, false evidence appearing mm-hmm. real. People
yeah.
in general go to the fear and fall back into that primordial, and this is my savior. This is going to be my, I don't have to worry about this. But they don't realize that breaking through that fear and how important that is. And I appreciate the way you've mentioned that today. It's very, very critical for people to understand that and know his perfect example, folks. Rebecca did it. You can do it. And I applaud you for that, Rebecca. And when I hear and
Thank
feel
you.
It's such a compelling story, full of passion and the feelings that are around it. And there's so much more today on a radio show. We can't speak about it. It is absolutely amazing, folks. I highly recommend that you get in touch with Rebecca and know that you can do it too. And I thank you for allowing me to come on for a minute and ask the question.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. And I hope that is what everyone takes from the show, that I'm not any more gifted or special than any of you. We are all gifted and special and needed, and that if I'm able to move forward and move through this, we all can do that. And I hope that it has encouraged and will encourage you to lean in and bring more of you forward. It makes a big difference.
Certainly
right.
does. And yeah. Yes, and we're each so unique, and without each one of us, we're missing a piece of the puzzle of life. So thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I loved also what as Jeff mentioned, if people can take from the story that they, too, can break free from the past and the constraints that have been put on them. But I love also what you mentioned about it, that you didn't do it alone, that you had help. And mm-hmm. people can avail themselves of that help if they feel that they can't do it themselves, or they find that they're not doing it and they're trapped in, as Jeff called it, repeat. I forget what he called it, but it's a repetition compulsion, basically. They can get help. That's why people like Rebecca and myself, coaches, exist. This is what we do with people and what we're passionate about doing. I mean, the passion that you had for other people that made you move onwards is amazing. And I have that same passion burning inside of me to help others also because of childhood experiences. So that's pretty interesting. And I thank you for sharing that personal information with us.
Absolutely.
So we as Jeff had brought up, we should all try to get in touch with Rebecca, all of us, not all at once. If you have any questions or you want to speak with Rebecca, how can they connect with you, Rebecca?
Now, there are two ways. One is you can go to my website, which is yourpurposedrivenpractice.com, and sign up to be on our list. And what that means is we'll keep in touch with you and let you know about programs or events or different things that we're doing. It's just event notification so that we keep you in the loop. And the second thing is I will actually do this for all of your listeners. I will open up my calendar and schedule that if I can be of service and support you in any way, my direct calendar link is meetwithrebecca.com. Again, that's meet, like having a meeting, with Rebecca.com. And you can schedule a time for us to talk. I would be honored to do so.
That is fantastic. What an offer. I know the value of that. I mean, boy, you'll be hearing from me, Rebecca.
I would love it.
Okay. Are there any last tips or insights or bits of wisdom, other than everything you've shared with us today, that you would like to tell us about before we wrap up?
Yes, what was dropped in my heart as we were talking, and it was prompted by Jeff's question as well. Another pivotal moment in my life is when I got the calling to start telling my personal story. And I shared in the beginning, I wrestled for 9 months. And people sometimes say it's stubborn. I just wanted to be extra sure this is really what I was called to do. And I had that same conversation with God that I don't want to do this. I shouldn't have to do this. People don't want to talk about those things. I'm comfortable. I've suffered enough. I shouldn't have to share in this way and be vulnerable, basically, and open in that way, like take all of my shields and masks off. And I wrestled. And God played that same conversation through my mind as he did when I was a younger girl on each of those steps. And he said, it's your choice. Yes or no. So I wrestled and I said, okay, God, I will do this mean, hard, horrible thing I really don't think I should have to do if you bring the people to me and I don't ever have to speak to more than 50 people at a time. I don't want to be recorded. I'll use a microphone because my voice isn't super loud. No books, no cameras of any sort or filming. And I'll just speak, you know, when I have to. So I'll do that, God. And silence. And then he came back to me and basically let me know this is a yes or no.
Okay.
Yes? Not with contingencies, not right. with boundaries. Are you going to go where I ask you to go and share what I ask you to share or not? It is your choice. So I finally, tears falling, said yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And I said, but I really hope, and I listed all the things again that I didn't have to do. And I can say now on the other side that I do all of those things on a regular basis, mm-hmm. and I actually love all of them. It was fear that even as I was looking at taking those steps, and I'm so glad it became a yes or no, that I get to experience the things and do the things that I get to do. And every step prepares you for the next. So even though I didn't know how to do that at that time, I built the muscles as I went along on our journey. So I'm going to encourage all of you that are listening today that have a prompting to be willing to say yes without the boundaries, without the contingencies, and be open to where it'll lead. It will transform your life and those around you.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for being here. We're wrapping up now, and I really appreciate your being on the show. I love the way that you mixed the mind and the body. You talked about being aware and evaluating, as well as listening to our body and being self-compassionate. And I think all of
Thank
us
you.
Are just great keys to you for all of us. So thank you, Rebecca, so much.
Thank you.